This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When it comes to hiring, don't go searching for the one. Just meet your match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Despite what their moms told them, they just aren't talented enough for radio. Unfortunately, anyone can have a show these days. Sean.
Well, I'm pretty hard to figure out sometimes. In fact, I can't even figure myself out sometimes, so don't you try to.
Joe.
You're an idiot. And really, a disloyal person.
This is the Cuse Militia. Those two unapologetically biased, orange-blooded homers, Sean and Joe.
It's the most bullshit thing I've seen in 30 years.
Welcome, Orange Men and Ladies. Happy Sunday. This is the Cuse Militia with Sean and Joe. At Cuse Militia on the socials. Go there, join the militia live on X Spaces right now, actually. The Orange fought back after being down 15, tying the game at 60, but struggled to hit shots late. Joe Girard closed the game out from the free throw line. That's fitting. You'll hear from us, and we'll hear from you in fan feedback. Joe, your pop and tops is been abysmal as of late, and yet another dud. So,
I mean, I think it's just it's the cell phone, or it's not the cell. It's the headphones.
Are those new?
Yeah, I think.
Oh, you think? You're not sure? I mean, it's just disappointing.
Dude, I'm not doing anything different.
I'm just saying it's disappointing.
It's just like one day, like, I don't even know if you're really messing with me or not. I guess I got to go back.
You could go back and listen, but I mean, it's disappointing. I think that we all have a standard that when the show opens, I pause there and you do that. And then, that kicks off the show. Right now, what you've started to do is not do that properly. And now everything's screwed up. So,
I mean, I haven't changed anything. I'm doing it all the same way. So I don't know. I mean, how come technical difficulties always got to be on my side? Maybe it's something that your side isn't picking up.
No, you're the one that does it. Therefore, it's on you to complete the task. It's not that difficult.
I mean, don't get me wrong. The task gets completed for sure.
Yeah, I believe that, actually. Okay, touche. But it doesn't record. And it's disappointing. I'm just letting you know to step it up. You have to do something else. Anyway.
I mean, maybe I have to venture into investigating this.
Maybe. Maybe just hold it closer to the mic. Anyways, look, I said the last show I just wanted to see them fight. Well, they fought. Okay, this is the team that I think we saw earlier in the year. Team that does fight, team that does not give up, and a team that, at the very least, gave themselves a shot. And like I said, man, right now that's all we can ask for. I think we've gone ahead and chalked this year up. I mean, that was a good opportunity to come into the North Carolina game and shock the world and be maybe in the talks, but I don't know. It was good. It's too bad they couldn't close the game out. It's too bad they put the one guy you don't want at the free throw line on the free throw line to close the game out, and that guy just happened to be Joe Girard. Storybook day for him with 18 points, hit his first four threes and got his 2,000th point in the dome on the free throw line where he's just tremendous. I mean, he's shooting 93% so far this year from the line.
Told y'all not to boom.
That's another thing too. Like, why? Why are we doing that? I don't understand. Why are you booing the guy? Yeah, it's embarrassing. You know, and then he gets up to the podium. He talked at the podium for 10 minutes. I mean, he loves this place. He's orange through and through. And after this year, you know, he will resume that. But
yeah, very good friend still with Jerry McNamara.
Yeah, I mean,
close with coach, and this is his. He's from up here. He played 4 years up here. You know, he's got a lot of relationships. He spoke to that. You know, and even Justin Taylor spoke about how he didn't think it made any sense to why they would boom. I can understand possibly, you know, because yeah,
there's a number of reasons not to do that.
Well, especially in the beginning of the game, right?
Well, you know, you have players on the team still. Like, I don't know, man. I think these fans, they just constantly shoot themselves in the foot over and over and over again. You know, and speaking of the fans, because I kind of I dogged the turnout last game, but they were awesome yesterday. I think we probably
the best game of the season.
Probably when Starling tied the game at 60 and that long two jumper, that place, that's what I'm used to. That's the sound. 23,000. That's the sound. They went nuts at the beginning of the game. They were loud. They weren't just sitting on hands after the first shot was scored. They were loud. They stayed loud. There was just the monotone noise that is disruptive. And it was good. I thought it was good from start to finish, especially when they got back in that thing. They were great. But the booing.
No, dude.
The booing was a bad look. I hate that.
I didn't like that. And then I just kind of knew. I was like, all right, Joe's going to go off. You know, and he didn't really go off. I mean, he had 18 points, but it was very efficient. He didn't miss. He missed one shot. He missed one shot the whole game. Played 37 minutes,
and it was a three. Right?
Yeah, it was a three.
It was his fifth one. Took him five to finally miss.
But then, I mean, you also got to look. I mean, dude, we had 13 more shots than they did. They shot 61% from two. They shot 43% from the three. Point line. I mean, we spoke about, you know, the possible path of having a chance to win this game, and a lot of it was, you know, us making it ugly, us using our athleticism and stuff like that. And, you know, Clemson only had, I think, five or six turnovers, and, you know, when they went down to Chapel Hill to play North Carolina, and, you know, they had 21 yesterday. So, and there was a lot of times too where you could tell, you know, there's large parts of the game where we would control the pace. We weren't necessarily scoring, but Clemson isn't really a team that wants to play at that pace. You saw guys visibly were tired on their side. It's just a situation where we did some of the things we needed to do. And I hate the fact that it's still closed out the second half. Yeah, we tied it. I get that you want to. amount of energy we had to consume to do that, but they just needed to hit anything in the first half. I mean, the amount of turnovers we had, we should have had a lot more points off turnovers. We shot only 39% from the floor, missed a bunch of threes. We missed some open. I mean, we had open shots that we missed as well, too. So, I mean, if we would have just hit a couple shots, you know, we needed to hit something in the first half. I think the reason why we lost that game.
They went 2-for-19 at one point in the first half.
Yeah. So we were turning them over. There was times where Clemson, they were making really bad turnovers, you know, just dropping the ball. We were getting steals. We had them sped up and uncomfortable, and we could not. I mean, the amount of gimmies and open shots and little things, you know, Malik Brown ball just goes out of his hands when he would have had a layup or a dunk. I mean, J.J. Starling missed a pretty easy layup at one point, and he was, you know.
Well, he went again, off. He made up for that.
Invisible. Well, he made up for it, but, I mean, it was in the second half. But I'm just saying, like, he was invisible again in the first half. We need him to get, you know, faster starts. But, I mean, yeah, that's really what it was to me. It was the first half shooting. I think that Clemson gave us the opportunities. We just weren't efficient enough. And we can't give them a 13-point lead in the first half. And then expend all that energy, same five guys on the floor for the whole second half, basically, just to tie it up. And I know, like, again, you're right there. You can take the lead. But to me, it was the inefficiencies of the first half that lost that game for us.
And, David, in the spaces brings up the fact that Judah had a hard time getting to the line and drawing fouls. And he didn't even get to the line until the second half. But they didn't even attempt a free throw in the first half. So... They eventually had 15 chances there, and much better yesterday than it was against was it Wake Forest? which was terrible. You know, the line has been something that I thought we were, you know, pretty consistent at until recently, but 11 for 15 yesterday, which isn't terrible. But all right, let's do this. Yeah. Let's listen to see what Coach had to say, and then we will get in some fan feedback.
Man-to-man defense was finally had a little bit more pop than it had been in the last couple of weeks. I thought, the first half, you know, it was really about our offense. You know, we held them down to about 30 points. Then they got going late. We was pushing up to 37, but I thought our defense for the first part of the half was good. It's just our offense was bad. We were stagnant, didn't move the ball, and we talked about that, trying to open up lanes, pass and cut. We just didn't do that. We took, I don't even think how many good shots we took the first half. They were probably none of them, and in the second half I thought we settled down, did a good job to battle back, and then the last 4 minutes, same thing again. We didn't execute what we needed to execute, defensively, started gambling, shot selection went back. We were in the bonus, so we were trying to, drive the ball. We had some success. That's what got us back into the game. Then we get a rebound, and we take a, a bad shot off a rebound. So I just thought our last 4 minutes, when we battled so well to get back in, we just, our discipline on both ends of the, on both sides of the ball was not there. Questions?
I know it's bittersweet to see Joe on the other side, but everything he did for Syracuse and getting the 2,000 points on this floor, just what you can say about what he meant to the program and who he is.
To be honest with you, I just thought Joe played a really good game. He stepped up when they needed him. He had some big shots. He's definitely gotten better. He had a really good game, good efficient game. He hit big shots when they needed him, they had big shots. And, so that's that.
Offense there, those stretches you were describing, is that something Clemson's doing, or are those lapses by your guys?
I think it's all us. It is all us. I mean, we got them in the bonus early. It's us. I think this is what the most frustrating thing is. This game was us. The last 4 minutes, we did what we needed to do to get back into the game, and then the last 4 minutes, we didn't do the things that we needed to do to win.
Right. How come Kyle Cuff hasn't been able to get out through the last two games?
Just my feel. I thought the guys that played had a good rhythm going. That was just coach's decision.
So it's not anything physical?
No, he's fine.
What can you tell us about Peter Carey's injury? Is it a short-term thing, or is he going to be out a while?
I have no idea. It was a surprise to me. I learned about it before the game, so I don't know how long he's going to be out or when he's going to be back in. Thank you.
So Peter Carey doesn't get any minutes. Munir Hima filled in for him his 3 or 4 minutes that he fills in the game. So I guess Hima is probably not 100% either. So... look, it's going to be a struggle. I mean, the Kyle Cuff thing, I'm glad someone asked about that, because we wondered about that last game. And then, this game, he didn't get any minutes, but I did notice him on the bench and he was into it. And so, I don't know what that is, but we got to imagine it's coach's decision. The guys out there kind of gelling and giving him the best chance to win. So, I'm not going to look too much into any of that, but, like he said, I think the most poignant thing he talked about is that the last 4 minutes of this game, Well, they tied it with like three and some change left, right? And then from there it was just not, you know, they failed to hit shots and the defense wasn't great. I think obviously with Malik Brown in foul trouble, they have to have him on the floor, but they blew by him a couple times for some easy layups. And it's just kind of one of those things. It's like, you know, you want him on the floor, but you don't want them to score. So what the hell do you do? You know, he's going to put himself in a bad spot and get in foul out of the game. It doesn't help either. So it's kind of, yeah. it was kind of a situation where damned if you do and damned if you don't at the end of that game with him with four fouls. He got two quick ones, like back to back. What was it? Beginning of the second half, something like that. I mean, I can't remember, but you know, two kind of one really dumb one and back to back.
You'll love
it
this.
Just puts.
I mean, I wanted to always.
What the hell is going on?
It looked like that shuffling guy tripped like on his leg, but it didn't look like. I mean, Malik Brown doesn't have eyes in the back of his head, so I don't really. I think he was just moving and he tripped over his leg, and then there was another one that was pretty ticky tack. I mean, look, the refs weren't great. But at the end of the day, they weren't the reason why we lost, like what Autry said. I mean, it was us and not hitting our shots in the first half. And then it was, you know, us the last 4 minutes when, you know, we just couldn't get over the hump there, even after we made that comeback. So, like you said, saw a team that fought. That game would have been really, really nice. But, you know, it was just a very... what made it worse, too, I guess, I think, is Gerard in, like, just every shot. Like, every time where we had – there was a couple times where we had momentum. The crowd was into it, and then Joe Gerard would hit a three, and it's like, ah. You know, like, when Judah went for that steal and Joe got it, I was like – I knew that he was going to make that three. You know, we've seen him do it. So, and then, yeah, I mean, that to me was the hardest pill to swallow yesterday. But if they would have came in and their big dudes would have dominated us, which they did on the boards and then, you know, in points in the paint as well. But, I mean, just the fact that, you know, all the clutch just needed threes that Joe Girard hit against us.
How many points did we score off of turnovers? Because I don't think it was many. And we were kind of one and done on offense. I mean, if it didn't go down and we weren't getting the rebound, I mean, there was a couple times we got a couple. How many offensive rebounds did we get? Two. Or excuse me, eight.
Yeah.
So
I mean, we had more offensive rebounds, actually.
It's not terrible.
Than they did. Well, yeah, but we had 15 points off of turnovers.
They also shot 60% from the floor, so.
Right. Yeah, but that's the thing is we had 13 more shots than them. That's what I was saying. I mean, if we just hit shots, you know, they had 21 turnovers. We only got 15 points off those turnovers. You know, we had eight turnovers. They got 10 points off those turnovers. So... Clemson gave us the chance. I mean, Clemson, they made enough mistakes to give us that opening to beat them. And we just did not hit the shots.
At Chicken Stanley on Twitter, Judah with bad shots. Decisions down the stretch again for the last 8-plus minutes. They played too fast and not smart. Great comeback, though. Yeah, but like you said, Joe, I mean, when they sped the game up, then that put Clemson in kind of a... put them in a bad spot. It's just not how they want to do things. And, and when you speed up, tend to be, you know, if you're not mistake-free during that time, then that's, right. You know, it just gets sloppy sometimes. And it's down the stretch. And I know that they obviously wanted the ball in Joe Girard's hand down the stretch, and you kind of, like, don't have a choice sometimes but to follow the guy with the ball, right? So...
right.
You know, just unfortunate, but I'm not upset about it. And, it sucks. It does suck getting that close and not being able to have the W because, you know, it was a game that we need. Now we got to go to Clemson and try to play them there. So, I mean, that's another quad one opportunity. And then you got UNC coming. That's a quad one opportunity, obviously. So, there's some chances left. I mean, it's slim to none, but they're there, and kind of just chalk this year up to a rebuilding year, right? I mean, what are we going to do? You just after the past couple losses, you just want to see him fight, and that's I guess what I took out of yesterday. I wasn't even that mad about it.
Right. No, I think, you know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, we've gone through this whole season not really knowing how good this team was, right? I mean, I remember we were like, oh, we're winning the ones we're supposed to win, and but we never knew how good we were, you know. Even when we played, you know, the Oregons, the Miami, like, they didn't have their starting centers. So, I mean, would we have won if they did have them? And then I think when we lost to Florida State and Boston College, I think that's when people started to question it. And also, I think when it got to the point to where, you know, every game, every team that we were losing to, you know, granted being good teams, like, they were killing us. We were losing by 20, 30 points. So I think that started to wear everyone down and they started to lose confidence. Obviously that Boston College game, you know, hurt a lot of people. So, but again, like you said, it's still there. You know, the path is there. It's just, again, you're going to have to get one of these big wins, right?
Yeah, we kind of always play the mathematically eligible game, right? And I mean, if you think there's a chance, then there's a possibility. But
right,
the window's closing. Add Saltine Warrior 4, yet another game because Judah puts it on himself and plays hero ball. Selfish player who flops, always looking for the whistles and flashy plays. Tired of the immaturity from this roster and bad coaching. What did Red draw up out of the timeout? I don't. When you look at how the offense was and how Clemson was playing like blankets, I mean, there was no one was creating any space. I don't know if I'm that mad about Judah kind of taking it upon himself. I mean, I don't know, man. I don't know. Look, take a look at like Justin Taylor, and I'm not trying to bag on anybody, but he had a 10-point game last game, and then, you know, before that, he's scored less than 10 points in the last, like, 8 games.
Someone in this room stole my autographed basketball.
Golly day. Sorry about that. Joe, you can't hear that, but this ads keep popping up on my computer. So, you know, his problem is he just can't create space. He has no room to do anything. He's constantly just, you know what I'm saying? So they kind
of... Oh, I mean, this team overall doesn't even look like it really has that good of an offense identity. I mean, they're just kind of out there playing basketball, running around, picking, trying to basically, you know, give the driver space or get some type of, you know, mismatch. But a lot of it looks like, you know, hero ball, one-on-one stuff. That's why I don't know. I mean, it's difficult because obviously someone's got to play point, but, I mean, Quadir Copeland seems to make things happen, you know. He seems to move the ball a little bit more. When Malik Brown gets a pass for a dunk or a layup, it's normally him more than anybody else. So, yeah, I mean, sometimes the ball just stops when it gets in Judah's hands, and then people are kind of just standing around, and it's just really, really stagnant and really ugly, especially when you see him end up shooting a fadeaway jumper that, you know, just hits the rim and goes off, and it's just like that offensive series is horrible. Like, I don't know. I think that we need – I mean, again, we're limited as well with our bench and with our rotation, but, I mean, that's kind of what it looks like. You know, if they're not out running in transition and trying to do stuff like that, like, then it's very, very stagnant a lot of times.
Yeah, I mean, 6-for-18 probably wasn't his game to. I would agree with that. You know, just going by the numbers, 6-for-18 from the field, probably not the best game to try to do it. But in Starling was hot. I mean, maybe the ball's in Starling's hands, and at the end of this to try to close it out. But either way, it doesn't matter. I mean, I don't know how to analyze it. It's just they're a far better team, and at the end of the day, The chance was there, and they couldn't close it out. And Clemson closed it out.
Well, yeah. And too, I think that we have to kind of keep a lot into perspective as well, because we expected, you know, a Nyheim McLeod. We expected a much improved Benny Williams. We expected a chance Westry. So, I mean, this is an incomplete team, obviously, as we see it. Like you said, it's Red's first year. So, first year going to man-to-man and with a new head coach. So, we knew there was going to be some hiccups. But considering everything that's happened and considering where they're sitting now, which is better than what it's been the last 2 years, then it's not awful, right?
Yeah. Here's one. At No Blanchard 44, the offense refuses to move around. They look like statues. Not having a center is killing us on defense. Naheem might not have been great on offense, but they're really missing his shot blocking ability. Our tournament chances are officially dead, barring an ACC tourney win. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how that's going to be seeded too, because of how close everybody is really in the ACC as far as the standings go. Syracuse just went below 500, right? So still have a chance to make some noise. Virginia Tech lost to this weekend, and it's just all over the place, the ACC. I mean, Notre Dame pulled out a win against was the Virginia Tech game, right? Notre Dame beat Virginia Tech. I think that's true. But I can check real quick. But you do have the tournament, and we always say, there is a shot. But the path is not going to be easy. I think to say that there's only three teams going to make the tournament from the ACC too, I still think it. I don't know if they're still saying that, but they were last week.
I think it's four now.
Is it four now?
With Wake Forest is the first four out, but they beat NC State yesterday. I think Wake Forest is going to end up sneaking in there as well. So, I mean, I'm guessing probably five.
That's what I'm thinking. Maybe five or... probably five max, but
see, the problem is like right now being 5-9, right? And we're 6-7. If we go to 15-9, sorry. If you go to a 15-10 and a 6-8 in the ACC, then that's going to look pretty bad. But then we have, pretty much five winnable games in a row. And if you plug off five of those games, now you're talking about now you're 20-9. And you're 11-8 in the conference, and you still have time to completely, that's momentum, and it's near the end of the year, and sometimes that can help. But the problem is that none of those games are really going to be. Maybe at NC State, it's probably going to be your best quad win. All the other ones are going to be like quad three and expected wins, with your last game at Clemson. So that's why this Clemson game was so important. So you only have two more quad one. Options left, and even if we were to win those five games, I don't know how much it moves the needle because of where those teams sit. So near the end we might look like you get 20 wins and you start thinking you got a possibility, but what's your best win? Where's that signature win? We haven't got it yet.
I mean, we can't hang our hats on Oregon. You know, that's still a quad one win technically, but we can't hang our hats on that because it's just.
I mean, trust me, if you go into the bubble talk and they show your best wins and your best losses and all that, like if your best wins say, neutral court to Oregon and home against Miami and Louisville, or not Louisville, NC State.
No one cares.
It's
not moving the needle.
That's not moving yet. Not going to compare to the other teams that are going to be on the bubble, I'll tell you that.
At David Super, we reach that point now where wins and losses don't matter. Players and coaches need to figure out how to get an auto bid, win 3 in 3 days or 4 in 4 days or whatever it takes. Got to figure out rebounding, free throws, defense, all with lack of bench and on and on. That's kind of where I'm at. That's why I'm... to analyze the schedule and what we got coming up, and it's just I don't know if it matters, and we just kind of mentioned it as far as the tournament goes, and I don't see football season's gonna be fun.
Stop.
That's where I'm at. But how? When have I ever? When have I ever been there? When have I ever been there?
Never been there.
Okay.
You've never been there because we still have lacrosse and then summer.
Yes, we got lacrosse. Lacrosse is going to be excellent. That's a tournament team. Superstars all over the field on that. But we don't dedicate our time here to lacrosse. Very little of our time is spent on lacrosse, and I watch lacrosse. Like I'm into lacrosse. I've always been, and I enjoy it. But that's not what we do. We do football and basketball.
Syracuse women, Syracuse basketball. They're going to be in the postseason.
Again, we talk very little about women's basketball as well, along with lacrosse.
Because we do
men's basketball and we do football here.
They're actually currently playing Louisville Cardinals right now on the CW.
Is Louisville ranked?
Yeah, Louisville is, I think, 15th or 16th. We're ranked 23rd.
Yeah, that would be a solid. If they could pull that win off, that's awesome.
Yeah.
They're excellent. Lacrosse team's excellent. You know, I mean, you got soccer coming up. You want to talk soccer too, Joe?
Huh? I mean, if you want to
look, I've watched my daughter play soccer all last year and I still don't understand it, so I have no clue what the hell the rules are there. I'm that parent that's lost asking all the questions, so I have no idea. Anyway, let's keep going. Cuse Waterboy says pain. At Drew Cuse, bad execution to close out, not smart at all. At Orange Coach 44, shout out to JG3, good for him. Now the rest of us need to get some better bounces and shots, just a few more. Was there any part of you that was happy, or, you know, happy for Joe Girard and to have, I'll tell you what, when they announced that he was X amount of points away from hitting 2000, I wanted to win the game and have him, in a perfect world, have him do that in the dome and win the game. I thought that was really awesome for him to do that in the dome. And, you know, I was rooting for him to do that. And, you know, I didn't want the dude to go off, and I wanted to win the game, but it was hard not to be happy for the dude. Doing that at the dome, at the free throw line. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, I don't let sports, for me, make me that upset that I can't, you know, respect something like that. You know, you had a situation where for 4 years he played, you know, right down from where he grew up, and his, you know, family could go see so many games at the dome and see him play, right? And he had a great career here, and then for his final season he went somewhere else and went to Clemson, someplace where, you know, his family can't come. So for him to be able to come back to where it all started
and do that and in front of his dad
and have
his mom
and have his family, you know, and his grandma was in attendance, and, you know, just family and friends there to witness him score his 2000th, where it all started. You know, I mean, like they had brought it up too. I mean, that guy's won state football championships in that state, in that same dome, right? Yeah. So he's had a lot of memories there, right?
Right before he ended the football season in high school, and then the next spring the next winter he was playing for Syracuse
basketball. Yeah. So he's got a lot of memories in the dome, and, you know, I think he's eventually going to be a guy that, he's a bleed orange kind of guy. You know, I mean, Clemson's orange too. So what are you going to do? But yeah, I mean, I'm not that big of a sports crazy person that I'm going to get all pissed off because we lost and not be able to, you know,
celebrate
the fact that was pretty damn cool for him.
Because, I mean, how many points did he score with us?
Majority.
Yeah, like, well, obviously, but I mean,
1,500 something.
Has he scored that many this year? Holy cow. Anyway, I thought it was cool. I'm happy for him. At Level Up Luke brings up the fact that Fran Brown, number one recruiter again, back to football. And, yeah, National Recruiter of the Year per 247, I believe it was. So I don't think there's much of a surprise there. Saw Fran Brown, I think he's playing all-time quarterback with some kids in Walnut Park. So some students there. So a man of the people, Fran Brown. So, yeah, and congrats to him. And the recruiting is just bonkers. So, and then he says, bring him on to talk soccer. So that would be Joe's new podcast. Joe's solo podcast with special guest Luke to talk soccer. What do you think, Joe?
I can't talk soccer. You know that.
Why?
Because I don't really know the rules either.
Well, that's why he bring Luke on. You just have him educate us both. But I'll be listening. You can conduct the show.
I don't know if I can do that.
I barely can make it. In all seriousness, I could barely make enough time to do what we do now. David mentions the fact that seven games left, the four toughest games left of all on Tuesday night after a quick turnaround. Yes. Of a Saturday game. It is going to be that Tuesday at 7 o'clock, quick turnaround. No bench. How are we going to navigate that, Joe?
Very strategically.
With a running clock. That's how we navigate that.
I have no idea. I feel like I'm at the point now. Like, I think that the team can get better. Like I said, I mean, we're shorthanded. We're one of the youngest teams. There's a lot of things that are going against us, but we still, if we can turn around and we can play a game like we did yesterday, like, gives us a chance. It's just, we never really put together like full halves or full games. It's always in little spurts, you know, where one player doesn't do anything in the first half, like JJ, and then second half comes out and it's just like, thanks, but where was that type situation, you know? So, I think I'm at the point now where I feel like the only way we have a chance is if Chance comes back and he actually like can spark some type of, I don't know.
The coach has not been asked about that in quite some time. You know, last we heard was a few weeks to a month-ish. I don't see that in the future.
I mean, I think
this year.
Well, my guess on it was that they were going to, no matter what, they're going to try to make it like to where he could still redshirt this year. So there's some type of percentage of games or something.
There's so many like games you can play in before you're not eligible for a redshirt.
Right. So I think that even if he were to be close to becoming ready, I don't think they're going to waste games on like 5-6 minutes here at a time in some games just to try to get his legs under him. Probably be better if they got his legs under him and he was practicing in full for quite some time and get under to that number to where, you know, he can play near the end of the season but still use a redshirt.
At Mike at 748-55165, kids played hard. Clemson is good but not great. If we had a legit center, we'd probably win. No more thin guys from now on. Recruit some Anuaku dudes, 6'10", 245 mandatory. Get all of them in the damn weight room. Loved the effort. Simply outmatched. Frustrating as hell. Yeah, man. A big, strong center would be so nice.
Yeah.
If you know, I don't see Naheem as the kind of guy to bulk up, but just his presence and height down there is good. But you want that. He's so right. When you talk about Anuaku, he's just a strong guy down there. You know, he's not getting the ball stolen from him. He's going straight up to the rim. He's not. You know what I'm saying? It's just
right.
We haven't had that in so long. You know, and yet Jesse Edwards was. I mean, not necessarily a strong guy, but he just developed to be so good. And, you know, you miss it.
I get that, and I do miss that. But, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, Malik Brown's holding his own.
He's absolutely holding his own, no doubt about it. Brownell said some very nice things. He had some nice things to say about Malik Brown. He's the lunch pail guy was the one thing. Like, yeah, he is. He's the lunch pail guy, man. He just comes out and does what he's supposed to do because it's his job. And he's always doing the best he can. And he's amazing. He's amazing. But for him being where he is, Joe, like to your point, he's extremely impressive to be doing what he's doing right now.
Yeah. And I think that this in here, I got one here, but here in Facebook, this team is frustrating. They will get down double digits, play great team ball, and then as soon as they either tie or take the lead, they immediately stop playing great team ball and revert to ISO ball. Judah is not an NBA talent, no outside shot, drives recklessly and takes unnecessary contested fadeaway shots. JJ, Malik, Bell, and Kwadir were the better players in this game, and I don't even think JJ touched the ball after tying the game at 60 because of Judah. Judah is not as good as he thinks he is, just pass the ball, dude. Infuriating.
I think Judah is great. But that to what I said earlier, I thought that you had a guy with a hot hand. Why didn't the game come down to the ball in his hands on offense, especially after a couple of empty trips?
Right,
you have an empty trip, and then you're fouling. They're scoring from the foul line because you put 93% free throw shooter there. I mean, that's a great point. He put it better than I put it, whoever that was. So, but I don't know if he touched the ball either after that tie in that.
Well, yeah, and I think that, and sometimes, and that's what's so weird about it, and I think the most frustrating thing is like, literally, you can watch a game, and then you can watch a 5 to 8 to 10 minute stretch where we look like a tournament team.
Yeah.
Like, we could play with anybody.
Yeah, the
and
comeback.
Then in the same games, we could see a 5 to 8 to 10 minute, like, course of the ball game where we don't even look like we're good enough to go to the NIT. And I don't know if it's one of those things with, you know, egos, you know, like Coach Babers used to say, drop the E and go. Like, I mean, this team needs to want to win more than, you know, personal accomplishments. And it's one of those things where Judah is good, but I like the Judah that scores 14 points, 13 points, goes to the free throw line and had 9, 10, 11, 12 assists. More than I like the guy that's 6 of 18 with 5 assists or something. Like, you know what I mean? Like, JJ needs to get going early. He needs to take shots early. He can't go a first half like that and seem like he's not even involved in the offense. And to be perfectly honest with you, Kwadir Copeland is the best playmaker with the ball in his hands. And to me personally, he should be the one with the ball in his hands. Everyone else should be playing off of him. He should be the one getting the ball.
It also that opens up stuff for Judah. Like, you know what I mean?
Well, that's the other thing that I was going to say is Judah, and, you know, I think the problem that he has is that he's more of a one-on-one scorer, you know? I don't really see, I mean, we got to get to a point to where, you know, he's the guy that's cutting to the basket and Quartier's getting him the ball. So that he doesn't have to be the one-on-one guy just to get his own shot because it just stops everything. I think Kwadir Copeland, he's the playmaker. Malik Brown is a hell of a team player. To me, he's slowly climbing up to the person that's got the best chance to actually be a legitimate NBA player on this team. Yeah, I mean, Judah, he had to carry our team last year because of the team and who we had. I mean, we had Jesse, we had Joe, and then we had Judah, right? And it seemed like they all kind of just got their own shots. Well, I think this year we have a team where you have players like a Chris Bell, like a JJ, like a Malik, and a Kwadir, where they've caught up in talent with Judah. Not to say they're right there with him, but you know, they're good enough to where they can play team ball. Like, we don't need him to carry us like that anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I mean, look, here's another one. Just M. Prumo 11. Judah, as usual, likes to take the game over when Copeland and JJ were doing just fine. Judah is not an NBA player. So there's a few comments in here where people weren't happy with Judah, but I understand it. I also heard that he hid kind of while everybody else was doing interviews, he hid in the locker room until the reporter's opportunity to speak with players had evaporated. So I don't know what that's about, but if you are someone who's a leader, probably not the best look. So, at Shoebox, good fight, still poorly coached. They need to hit the portal and hard and find a damn center for once. Well, you mentioned that we're one over on the scholarships, right? So last show. So, what does this team turn into at the end of the year? What, you know, does Judah try to do the NBA thing again? If me just being honest, I feel like his NBA, what he needs to make the NBA has not drastically improved from last year. So,
right.
So I don't know. I mean, I would love to have him back. I don't know why we get on this. We get on the train of just blaming one of the best players on the team for the you know, a loss, or could have done this, could have done that. It's so easy to sit back and look and say, well, I could have done this, could have done. Yeah, I know. We know. It's different though if you got the ball in your hand and you're on the floor and you feel like you can make something happen.
Right.
I mean, he just could not yesterday get to the line. He had a hard time being able to do that, and that's his game.
Yeah. Well, he didn't get. I mean, there were some calls he didn't get, but
yeah, there was plenty. You know, there's plenty of those now, and because of who he is and what he does, and we talked about it, that he's just not getting them like he was getting them.
Right. So that doesn't mean you just settle for fadeaway jumpers.
No, you know? I agree.
I mean, he hit some jumpers that, you know, some big jumpers. You know, he got some points that were in that run. It's not like he shouldn't be out there. It's just I think that he should be looking for his teammates a little bit more. And I think that when he turns in a one-on-one, I'm going to back you down and do my little turnaround fadeaway jumper. Like, I mean, everyone just stops moving. It's just it's almost like they're not even bothering cutting because they know that he's not going to, you know. So, again, it's coaching. You know, like Steve said on Facebook, coaching, 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 the end. You know, you got to figure out a way to fix that. You know, I mean, you don't want that to be stagnant like that. I mean, if it's a crazy mismatch to where Judah's just on fire, he's killing it, we've seen him take over games, like, yeah, that's fine. But you can also take over games by using your, you know, ability to draw a double team, get to the rim, and make a nice pass to someone else for an easier shot. So that's what Adrian Autry's got to get to, and he's got to keep pushing the coaching, keep pushing, you know, playing team defense or team ball, period, and starting to play with each other more, and you know, have it be less and less hero ball and more ball movement. When they play like that, you can see the difference, and we have players that can do it. It's just Judah can't be the ball stopper.
Yeah. One more at Young Owie, I think. Syracuse didn't play great for a long stretch. Yes. Refs out absolutely blew some crucial calls. Classic Syracuse basketball these days. Did the refs blow enough calls to make a big difference? I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say, right? We talked about calls last game and how it was a whole lot better this year than last year. But
I saw a couple of the
real unfortunate one, and I don't remember at what point in the game it was. I think it was before it was tied. It was during the comeback, I think, when Quarter Copeland was going after a loose ball, and he was held, and then he ends up gathering the ball up anyway, and they call it out of bounds, but it never even went out of bounds. You know, it's just, and yeah. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. He got held, and yeah, it definitely didn't go out of bounds. And they showed the replay. That definitely didn't touch the line. So,
no, and I mean,
there was another one where Malik Brown's jersey got tugged by PJ Hall when he ran up to go grab or to go pick somebody's guy. You know, they didn't call that. I don't know what the deal is with the rule with the elbows to the face. Because I was under the impression that if you got an elbow to the face,
if you're swinging a high elbow, I thought you're swinging a high elbow. If you're up here and your elbow comes in contact with someone's face, I thought that was it. But there, I guess that if you're in their bubble or whatever area, it's all so subjective, man.
Right. I was just going to say, cause, and then not to say that, you know, a technical or, you know, get a kid kicked out of a game for something, you know what I mean? But at the end of the day, I just thought that whether it was intentional or not, that if you hit someone in the chin or in the face like that, that it was just an automatic foul. You know?
Yeah.
And I don't know. I thought that guy came up and he went to go create space for, you know, against JJ and caught him right in the chin, you know? So I don't know. Maybe that rule's changed, but it's just some of those were weird to me.
I totally agree.
But again, like I said, I'm not going to blame the refs in this one.
No.
We had plenty of shots, yeah. Open shots, opportunities, off turnovers that we missed.
The 21 turnovers, and I don't know how many points we got off of turnovers altogether, but David reminds us in the spaces that the first half is only 4 points off 11 turnovers. So if you're not capitalizing on those, on, you know, 90% of them, then it's not necessarily a recipe for a loss, but it sure does help, you know? And I mean,
oh, you mean it helps when you take 13 more shots than the opponents?
Yeah. It's just, you got to make them. And it's just, that's just what we're kind of used to, right? Offensive stagnation, man. It's been quite some time. And, you know, you just, you know, let it go, move on to the next one. You know, Quadir Copeland was being interviewed in the locker room. He's like, you know, it's basketball. You know, we'll take our lumps here and move on to the next one. That's all you got to do. But unfortunately, the next one is UNC, Joe, Tuesday. So I'm not going to run through the whole gamut. But, you know, Clemson just beat UNC not too long ago here. You got Armando Bacot averaging a double-double. And got a couple guys that can, RJ Davis and Harrison Ingram, who are hitting over 40% each from three. So they're going to come into the Dome, and we all remember the last game, which was 103-67 loss. It's the worst loss Syracuse has suffered since joining the ACC. Mintz had 21 points, I think. I think it's not on here, but I think what was it? It was JJ had 16 or Quadir had 16 or something. Everybody pitched in and unfortunately just wasn't enough. But, you know, we've gotten out rebounded. What was it? 41-20 against Wake Forest. And I think, what was this one, Joe? 40-25. What was it?
This past one, I don't know, 40-23, 24 or something like that.
So yeah, we're getting crushed on the boards, and I don't think that this game's going to be much different, and that's just where I stand with this. I mean,
last time we played them is 53-30.
So. Oh, was it? Holy cow! Okay,
yeah,
that's, I don't remember that number. 53 rebounds. Holy moly! But you know, that's how Clemson beat them. You know, they were rebounding the ball. That's just not a good matchup for UNC as far as that goes. But, we kind of know who they are and we know the players, very veteran team. We all know what happened last time. So, just another opportunity for Syracuse to try to shock the world. We'll see what happens, Joe. Yeah, I mean, you have anything to really say about this or what?
Yeah, well, I mean, North Carolina just beat Miami last night, by the way, at
just
Miami.
Barely, and there was 75. There was a controversial call too at the end of that game. Was there a lane violation or something like that?
Yeah. So, and I saw that Seth Trimble didn't get any minutes. He played 20 plus against us last time, but I don't know what the deal is with him, but yeah. Hopefully it's different. You know, last time we played, North Carolina scored 50 points in both halves. And, you know, it was 52-30 at halftime. And this is, you know, a team that can play fast. They are deep. And that's, I think, why it makes it so, so tough for us. So, but like you said, we got to shock the world. I mean, North Carolina, and we have to, you know, you look at them, you know, they just beat a Duke team as well, and this is a team that can win a national championship. So,
God, I hope not.
Oh, I'm not. Look, I get what you're saying, but I'm just saying, like, that's just real. That's just real. Like, they're the best
team. They're that good, yes.
In my opinion, in the ACC. So, I mean, it also tells you a win like this would launch us in the net rankings, and, you know, it would definitely give us a marquee win to put on a resume, and it might be able to change, you know, the outcome of the season. So I was hoping Clemson was going to be it, and ended up being Joe Girard Day, and now we have a chance to like you said, stun the world and also put ourselves back into, you know, bubble talk, because like I said, we have 5 winnable games after this. So if we can, you know what I mean?
Yeah. If they win this and they go on a run after this, then absolutely you could talk bubble stuff, but just even if they were to win this game, I don't think it's putting us in any conversation. I just think it's a great win.
Well, it's a great win, but they would have to win after this.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
And I mean, I know that traditionally they have looked at like the last 10 games, like how are teams playing near the end of the year for momentum and stuff like that. And again, you know, there's still an ACC tournament that's got an automatic bid as the prize.
Right. Yeah.
So
Syracuse did slip 4 spots too in the net after the loss against Clemson, which is kind of crazy, but anyway.
Yeah. We still got that quad one win though.
You still got that one quad one win. Yeah. That's that one quad one win. Anyway, all right, well, quick turnaround for Syracuse, gotta shake it off, gotta get back after it. And, you know, unfortunately it doesn't this is going to cap off a three games at home, and, you know, back on the road to Georgia Tech and NC State, who probably, you know, NC State wants revenge, right? You got a very winnable game in Notre Dame.
Oh, sure.
And in my opinion, you got a very winnable game at Louisville, but on the road is tough. But Notre Dame's at home. They should wax the floor with Notre Dame. Shouldn't even be a question. So, and Virginia Tech at home, too, is a good one to have at home, I feel like, if you're looking at the rest of the games, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
I wonder if old boy's gonna be able to go home for it.
Oh, our boy Gio, golly. Yeah, that's right. That would be interesting. That'd be cool, probably, right? You know, he's a superstar down there, or over there. Well, over there for me in Blacksburg, he's a superstar. He's getting around to a lot of the way games and stuff like that. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw him. Be pretty cool. Anyway, that's about all I got.
What are your Super Bowl plans, man?
Oh, Super Bowl plans. We just make good food and sit at home. I don't do anything.
Oh.
I don't bet on anything. I don't buy any squares. I don't get into all that. But you know, we just pig out and watch the game. And it's tough. It's tough when you really just don't like either team. You know, it's not that exciting. You know, if I got a pick, you know, I'd have to pick the 49ers, just because I can't stand the Chiefs. Can't stand them. They're so loathsome. They really are. I can't stand them.
Well, it's coming from a Raiders fan.
True. That's probably part of it. Yeah.
You think?
So,
Jamal Charles did that to you by himself.
Yeah. Well, I think too, if I see one more thing, like Taylor Swift is just, I'm so over it. That entered into the Syracuse game a few games ago. Who was it? Was it the Wake Forest game? No, I think it was. Yeah, it was at Wake Forest. It was. They were holding. It's just too much, man. The idolatry is too much for me. Yep. I can't do it.
Yeah, I don't really like talking about it because now your opinions get thrown at you. So, you know, there's this whole thing now where if you don't like it, then you're either a misogynist or you're just an insecure man.
Is that what it is?
Really? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Colin Coward had this whole, like, tirade about it.
Really?
I posted something on Facebook, and, like, some girl I went to high school with, like, came back, like, imagine being that...
petty?
No. What'd she say?
Insecure?
That threatened.
Oh. Oh, yeah. This is... I've heard this line.
By them showing a, you know, a female on TV for 25 seconds out of a full 3 hours.
Does she need that? She's a superstar. We all know she's a superstar. She was a superstar before this. I don't understand. Like,
right.
Did you care beforehand? Did you care seeing her on anything, her commercials or anything? Did you care before they just showed her face every 5 seconds in a football game? I didn't.
No.
Well, I didn't. I watch sports to watch sports. I don't give a crap who's in the stands. I have zero F's to give. Like, I'm watching this for the game. I'm not watching this to see what Taylor Swift is doing in the box with the agonizing Mrs. Mahomes cares? Up there.
She's a worldwide pop star, and they're only showing her for 3 seconds at a time. Why would you even care? Why would that bother you?
I just told you why I cared, because I'm trying to watch a football game, not what Taylor Swift is doing with the absolutely irritating Mrs. Mahomes up there.
Yeah, but you know how much time in an actual 3-hour football game is actually football and them not just showing a whole bunch of random stuff? So why aren't you triggered when they show other people or other celebrities?
I am. I've talked about this with Syracuse games with Adam Weissman.
You know what I'm doing.
I know you are, but I think I'm pretty consistent on it. Remember the whole Adam Weissman thing? I've gone on that tirade too. Like, I don't care who Adam Weissman brings to the game. I don't care.
Like, that's cool, but it's also a distraction, right? It's a distraction for the players. It's everything like that, you know?
And
of course, I got baited into a response.
Of course, like, you did, because you just can't keep your mouth shut.
See? Well, no, that's you, okay? That's
I know
you.
That is me. That is me.
But I was kind of just, you know, I just eased into it, like, you know, I only posted this because I thought it was funny, not because I actually, like,
care that much.
Do it or believe it. Well, the worst thing was it was like one of those, like, what are they, GIFs or GIFs or whatever, where it said something like, me every time they show Taylor Swift for every catch that Travis Kelce has or something, and it was like a guy, like, pouring hot sauce into his eyeball. And I just thought it was funny. You know what I'm saying?
Right. God forbid you think something's funny and share it with people.
Right. And then all of a sudden it was like, oh, imagine being threatened. Because they should, and all of a sudden I'm like threatened. Like, I just.
By the way, who got triggered there? Who got triggered there?
Oh, I know. Yeah.
I mean, seems to me like
I tried to laugh it off, and she was like, "You got to use logic. Don't be so upset." So what do you hate, love?
Oh my God!
And I'm just like, okay, fair. And I even said, to be fair, if I'm watching a Taylor Swift concert, I don't want to see them going off to the crowd. To Travis Kelce.
Exactly.
Right? Because that's it's not his concert, right?
Right.
So, I mean, I get it. I mean, I try to be, like, kind of fair and even down the line too. And then I said, and, you know, the other thing is that, you know, every football team has 53 players and a whole bunch of coaches too. You know, what about the guys that have wives and kids? And how come we're not showing them?
They're not pop stars, Joe.
How come we're not celebrating families and, you know, people's kids and stuff? It's always just this person who's going to date this person for a hot summer, make a cool million, you know, shit ton of money for themselves in the NFL before they move on to the next one.
Do you hate love, Joe?
I guess so.
Seems to me like there was one person triggered in that whole thing.
Yeah,
and it wasn't you. Was,
like I said, I was like sitting there trying to make logic, and she's like, "That's not logic. You have to use logic." She's a pop star. She was like, "She's a pop star. Stop crying." And I just finally conceded, and I said, "I'm only crying because I have hot sauce in my eyes."
Is that what you said?
So, yeah,
that's funny.
That ended it. That ended it. But it was just, you know, I'm right there with you. I wanted this thing to be this year. I actually wanted Buffalo to beat them. I wanted Buffalo to get through that because I just didn't want to watch the Taylor Swift thing anymore. So,
And you and I have never had a conversation about the Taylor Swift thing before now, by the way. I don't believe so.
No, we haven't.
I didn't even know your thoughts on it. And the reason I didn't know your thoughts on it is because I didn't ask. And I didn't ask because I didn't care. Right? You know what I'm saying?
Fair. Yeah.
So, you know, really not that, I mean, you can deal, be, you know? You can complain about something and not be like triggered by it and just be totally irritated. You know what I mean? There's a difference between being triggered and irritated.
Yeah.
That's it. We'll end it there.
Yeah.
That's going to be enough of that and enough of us. You're welcome. We will try to get back here Wednesday. We'll see how it goes with UNC and play that one by ear. How about that? Appreciate y'all. For Joe, Sean, we're out.
Peace.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.